You're listening to episode 235 of Women Worldwide. What's the secret to media interviews and building relationships with influencers? And how do you do it in a shorter amount of time? I've got a guest today who is a super connector and a media matchmaker, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thanks for being here, for always showing up, for sharing, and for letting us know how much our guests on the show are helping you through your challenges and how they're empowering you to fuel your passion and power up your own voice. Every week we bring you professionals, and what I love the most is that even though they're so accomplished, really talented, they have challenges too, and they're willing to share advice and actionable tips. Okay, let's get to today's topic, which is media. How many times do you watch the news and you see somebody on the news is being interviewed and you say, wow, why isn't that me? I could do that. Or you're thumbing through Forbes or Entrepreneur and you see an article that's written by an expert and you say, I could write this article. Well, that's what our show is about today. Joining me on the show is Chris Winfield. Now, Chris is known as the super connector and the media matchmaker. That's like a lot of pressure right there. He's also the creator of Unfair Advantage Live, which are premier publicity events that help entrepreneurs and experts to make those connections, to get in front of the influencers, the gatekeepers, and the people that can make things happen. So I could go on and on about Chris. It's time for him to share his journey with you. Chris, great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you today. And I feel like our initial conversation, we should just hit record. We had such an amazing talk.
I know. It's true. So now that we have you and everybody is listening, I kind of lined you up as the connector, super connector, media matchmaker. Your events came to life, right? But it takes something to get there. Tell us a little bit about the backstory and how you made this all happen.
Yeah. So first of all, I love the way you set this up in terms of that feeling when you're watching somebody on TV or you read or you're listening to this and be like, I should be the guy being interviewed or the woman being interviewed. And that is such an important thing. And one of the main things that we talk about, we call it going from FOMO to famous. That's where we want to take somebody. But what I mean by that feeling of FOMO is exactly that. Like when you see that person, when you read about that person, you're like, oh, that should be me. But you don't take the action. And instead, you just feel bad about yourself. And you feel like, oh, that could never be me. And I ask people to lean into that feeling. And instead of saying, like, that can't be me, lean into that and say that something in you is telling you that should be you and that can be you. And that's such an important thing. That's what we look for. Because I think it's so easy to get caught up in people's highlight reels or, you know, right. Especially now in this world that we live in, and you know, to feel bad about that rather than think about it as something like, wow, what is my body, what is my soul telling me? Why is this person, you know, triggering something, or why am I thinking like that should be me? So that's the first part. All right, the next part with my event. So I was not the super connector. I was not born a super connector.
You weren't a little baby in diapers as a super connector.
Not at all. And I didn't, I had no real dreams of being an entrepreneur or anything like that. I didn't come from a rich family, a connected family or anything. And I worked at one job in my life where I worked for a company, and I left that company and I decided to start my own agency, web design agency. And I had zero connections, though. I had nothing going on. And I started to think about it. And just like what you were talking about with seeing people in the media or whatever, and I realized that when I saw people on TV or read about them, like, it made me think differently of them. It gave them an extra authority, or, you know, I'd want to work with them because they had this, like, something unique or mysterious, or they had all, like, what I didn't realize is they were just leveraging all that trust and all the authority of the publication, of the TV show, of the host, whatever it is. So I thought about that and for myself, and I was like, well, how could I do that? Now, again, a guy with no connections, no anything, and at a web design company, which me and, you know, 3 million other people who, what was I going to do to stick out? And so I wound up meeting this one reporter and getting in a, and building a relationship and getting a, part of a story in the New York Times, and they mentioned my company name, and, you know, some things started to happen from that. But the big thing that happened was all of a sudden I could say, as seen in the New York Times on my website.
Credibility.
And, credibility right away. And I was like, and then that, I noticed that that was like, it would change something for people, and it set me apart. And then I wound up getting in the next year a big national article about what I did. And it, from that came my first $1 million plus client that came directly as a result of this one little blurb in USA Today, which at the time was, you know, the top most circulated newspaper and used to be on everyone's doorstep at hotels and everything. And, you know, literally within 6 hours, this one huge corporation reached out to me, and then they wound up being worth, like, you know, $1.7 million to me over 3 years from that one little blurb. And so I was hooked right from there. And I, you know, but I never taught anyone about publicity or anything like that. It was never my business. And what I realized, what I did with this event with Unfair Advantage Live, was I saw that there was a huge disconnect between entrepreneurs and the media. So the media has changed a lot. It's gotten smaller, but at the same time, it's gotten bigger, meaning, like, it never stops. We're in a 24/7, 365 day news cycle, but there's less people a lot of times working at the publications, at the TV channels, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I thought about it, and I realized that it's the people in the media rely so much on the relationships, and that's what I had always believed in. And so I realized then also that entrepreneurs think the media, for the most part, it's like a black box. I'm like, how can I, you know, how do I get in any of this stuff? Like, do I have to have a publicist? All this stuff. So I started doing this event, Unfair Advantage Live, where I would teach people just how to do the stuff that I've done. I'm not a publicist. I'm not a publicity person. But I've been very successful at it because of, like, certain ways that I've done things in terms of building win-win relationships and building real value relationships. So, and then at night I would bring in people from the media to connect with these people, et cetera, et cetera. And right from the beginning, it was just something that was electric. Like, it worked. And that one-day event turned to a two-day event, turned to a three-day event. Now it's turned into a whole company called Super Connector Media, where we actually have as well a publicity side and a agency and all that. But
that's amazing. It's just so that is an incredible story. You had mentioned something that the listeners and anybody seeing us on YouTube didn't hear before, but that you talk to people every single day. Yeah. Were the people that you were talking to, were they media people? And is that how you got them to come to the Unfair Advantage Live events to help? Yeah.
So, all right. About six plus years ago, I had a marketing agency. It had grown to about 100 people, and I did not like what I was doing. I did not like the industry I was in. I did not like the company I was in. I was a co-founder of a company that, and I kind of dreaded going to work every day. But my ego was so tied to it. And I'd also become very disconnected from people. So the opposite, again, the whole super connector idea. And that company in March of 2013 pretty much completely imploded. All the worst things, if I was like, all right, Deirdre, here's all the worst things that could happen. But like they pretty much all happened. And it was horrible. It was painful. And it was also one of the best things that ever happened in my life. It didn't feel like that at the time. It didn't feel like right. that the next day.
No, it feels horrible at the time.
Right. Looking back, though, it was absolutely amazing. But one of the things that I realized was that I was really disconnected from people. I was disconnected from myself, but I was also really connected from people. And I did this, I came up with this idea, like, I'm going to go and meet with one person every single day. And it was just because I was trying to build like the habit muscle for myself and reconnect with people. So I started doing that. And when I would be going to a meeting or, you know, meeting somebody somewhere, I would be nervous and, you know, insecure and, you know, all these different things.
All normal feelings.
Right. Exactly. So what I started to do was like, I looked at that and I thought, why am I feeling that way? And I realized it was because of like the ego side and trying to impress somebody or thinking about what am I going to get from this? So I said, all right, instead of that, which I've always done throughout my life, like instead of being that person, why don't I try something else? Because that does not work for me. I am miserable. And so I started going in, being open about whatever I was going on in my life at that time. So at that time, not a lot. Like I had no idea what I was going to do. I had no idea. I'd lost pretty much all my money because I'd invested so much in this company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I was okay with saying that. And I'd never been okay with talking about anything wrong before. I'd always wanted anyone to think like the best possible version of me, which was not the way that it was. So then instead of going in thinking about what am I going to get from this, I started thinking about how can I help this person? What can I give here?
Oh, and I love that, Chris. I mean, that just touches my heart.
Yeah.
I believe in this.
Right.
I give.
So I started basing everything around this one question, which was, what do you need help with right now? So when I would talk to somebody, that's what I'd be thinking. Sometimes I would come right out and say that. Sometimes it was just like, as they were talking, I would figure out a way that I could connect them to somebody who could help them or, you know, give them some advice, whatever it was. Sometimes because this is the thing that people get hung up on. Sometimes it's just being somebody that can listen and, you know, without judgment and allow somebody to share something that they might not have shared. But I've had many people tell me, I've never shared this with anyone. And they shared it with me. You know, sometimes people that I've just met. So I started doing that and I did it every day and I've done it every day since. And it's been something that's completely changed my life. And here's the interesting part. I started incorporating that into my business. So for example, at my event, Unfair Advantage Live, there's at the beginning, everyone answers that question. So with their little group, they go around and say who they are, what do they do? But then they say, what do you need help with? And you have to be honest about it. Wherever you're at, I do these influencer dinners around the country. We're bringing together like, you know, all these unbelievably successful people and people in the media and everything like that. And the reason that people have this unbelievable, amazing experience is because at the beginning of the dinner, I say, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do here is answer one question. I pay for everything. I do everything. Like, you just have to answer this one question. And the crazy thing is that a couple of months ago, we did one in LA. And in that room were many people that have hundreds of thousands, millions of followers and, you know, quote unquote, perfect lives. And the 60% of the people, there's 25 people in the room, 60% of the people, when it came to them, the thing that they said they wanted was real connection, real friends. And again, these are the people where you think they have the perfect life. So if you look at Instagram or anything. And I think that that's, so in terms of your question, I answered your question in such a long way, but
it's okay. This is fascinating.
Okay. In terms of like, where do I build the relation? It's the same thing. So with people in the media that come to my dinners and, you know, again, I treat them like everyone else and they'll answer and ask the same questions, but it's, they get that real genuine connection. So they know that if they're coming to something that I'm doing, that it's going to be like that, that the people there are going to be like that. They also then are comfortable recommending, referring people, their colleagues, their friends that are in the media to come to our event. So everything has always been just based on word of mouth around that.
That's awesome. So I think the lesson here is that you really have to show up with transparency, openness, and not with expectations of what you're going to get, but what you can give. Those were based on your conversations. And then for your, I'm just curious, the events that you do, the dinners that you mentioned, do you think that it's easy for people to openly share where they need help? Because sometimes I find, and it is with women entrepreneurs, it's hard to ask for help.
Yeah. So I do not think it's easy. I think it's the biggest blind spot for entrepreneurs is asking for help. I think it's one of the hardest things. I have found that about 95% of people that I know, entrepreneurs, are horrible at asking for help, literally like about five, and that probably 5% is over exaggerated. But Here's the reframe around this, and here's the thing that I get people to think about and how they can change that up. So I'll ask you, when you help somebody that you know, somebody that, let's say, either it's somebody you love or somebody that you just think is a great person, how do you feel?
I feel great. Right. I feel the best when I'm helping, and I know I'm making a difference, and that person's happy.
Exactly. So the question that I always then ask is, why are you depriving other people of that gift for yourself?
Oh, that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah. And once you think about it from that perspective, it changes it. And that's how I always want people to be thinking. And, you know, if you're a good person, people out there want to help you.
Absolutely. So, you know what? I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a second, because we're going to shift our focus, Chris, over to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Rutledge Publishing. And I don't know if you're familiar with Rutledge, but Rutledge is one of the largest publishers, academic publishers of textbooks and business journals. So they actually happen to be publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators. Which, Chris, it's a book. I've answered over 150 questions. Chapters are broken down from building relationships, reputation, measuring success, socializing your brand on social media. So I thought it would be fun if I could ask you a question from the book.
Please.
All right.
I'm looking at the book behind you. You have the great poster behind you as well. So I think subliminally, it's in my mind, the dots and everything.
Awesome. Yeah, a little bit of branding okay. behind me, wherever I go. Okay, so Chris, your question is question number 52. What is the best way to get to know a journalist or blogger?
Yeah, so all right, I'm going to give you the easiest way. So let's say that you have an idea of somebody that you want to meet, or maybe it's just a publication or whatever, and you're like, all right, I want to get media coverage here. So what I believe, and I've never been proven wrong with this, is that most likely you already have the people in your network right now that can help you to get there. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily directly there, because if the person you're saying is Oprah or something, like, you're most likely going to have to leave, gonna do some steps to get to her. But let's just say whatever it is. So I have this tool that I've always used throughout my life, and I call it your top 20. So what you do is just grab a simple piece of paper and make four columns. And in the first column, you're just going to put name above it. So you're going to sit down and brain dump you don't have to sit down, but if you know, but you're going to brain dump 20 people in your network right now that can potentially help to connect you to media coverage, whatever it is. Because the goal is like you want to have a relationship. You want to have some in with the person. So you write down all these people. And now the important thing is don't just think of your business network. Don't think of like a mastermind you're in or you know an organization. Think of your entire life. Your network is your entire life, all the different relationships.
I think people forget that. That's a really good point. Like go back. You've had mentors and people who have really helped in a certain way that you could tap into.
Exactly. And you know, family or people that you went to college with or you know, like your, for example, I've gotten connected from parents that of my daughter's like friends at school and you know, all these different things. So you think about all the different relationships, you just write them down. Then in the next column, you're going to give it a score and it's going to be their level of influence. So let's say that you realize, oh, wow, I know the editor of Forbes. Well, and you wanted to get into Forbes. Then you're going to probably give them a 10 in terms of level of influence to help you to achieve your goal. Or let's say that you just realized, wow, one of my readers or one of my clients is a contributor of Forbes. So they're going to most likely be able to help you get in a lot easier. Maybe they can write an article about you, whatever. So you give them a score. Then in the third column, you're going to give a score of how likely are they to help you. So let's go back to that editor of Forbes that you know. You realize, wow, I've only talked to them one time and I didn't follow them up. And, you know, we had a great conversation, but my imposter syndrome kicked in and I didn't talk to them. So I'm going to give them a 2 in terms of likelihood to help me. So then, but let's then go to the next one and you realize, wow, that contributor that I know, I have a great relationship. I've helped them so much in their business. You know, they're maybe an 8 in terms of likelihood to help me. So then in the final column, you're just going to add up all the scores and you're going to start with the people that have the highest scores. Now, if they have a high likelihood to help you, then you can pretty much go right in and ask them to what your goal is. So, hey, would you, I have this great idea for a story and I want to get more media. Would you be up for that? Blah, blah, blah. So if they have the low likelihood to help you, you're going to have to nurture that relationship. You're going to have to build that relationship. So you're going to reach out to them. You're going to think about something that they can, that you can help them with. You're going to start commenting on their social media stuff and, you know, being a supporter, thinking like I always think of reporters and journalists as like, I'm going to treat them the way I treat my best friend.
Right. Not just when you need something, but participate, give, share information when it's not always for your own purpose, right?
Exactly. So one of our core beliefs in my company and my community is the extra mile is never crowded. So we live in a world right now where most people don't even want to take that first step, like because things are so easy, meaning like it's easy to DM somebody. It's easy to share about something on Facebook. It's easy to text somebody. Now, showing up, getting back to like something you said a while ago, like showing up and showing up for people, just sometimes showing up in general is right. So unbelievably powerful. Now, it feels like it's more work, but relationships actually become the shortcut. So unfair advantage, what that means, where that came from was my friend said, hey, when we describe you to people, we call you our unfair advantage. And I said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, you're able, say we want to get in the media or we want to find an agent or we want to get a partner for a launch. Like you're able to text somebody and introduce us and make something happen in 30 seconds that would take us like 6 months.
Holy cow.
That's where it came from.
Wow. Amazing. Well, Chris, thank you so much for answering that question. And thank you, Rutledge, for my book and for sponsoring the episode. Okay, let's dive back into the conversation. I lined up our discussion talking about challenges. So is there anything that you can point to that has been a big challenge for you or is a challenge now for you in your business? We all have challenges.
Yeah, I mean, every single day there's challenges. I think that especially as an entrepreneur, I think that thinking that that's not going to be the case, I'm always waiting for that day where there's not one, two, 20, 50. So thinking of it as challenges and knowing that that's part of it, I think is a really important thing. Because I think it's easy to think about them as problems or as, things that you can avoid, whatever it is. So I think that's like a really, really important thing to keep in mind, because for me, there's never a day. I think that, yes, this day is going to be the day that there's not some challenge, and it just never comes. And I think that if it does, that means that I'm not growing, because each challenge gives us that opportunity. We need contrast,
Right.
We need that. And so
it takes you to a new level. I mean, we're supposed to jump over an obstacle because there's a higher obstacle coming, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Exactly. So I think that that's such an important thing to remember. For me, one of the things that whenever I'm running into challenges, which is every day, like, they always come back to how I deal with it. And if I'm not dealing with it the right way, it's usually as a result of three words. So fear, ego, or expectation. So fear, I think, is at the core of everything. We run into fear so much, and that holds us back from so much. So I always have to, a lot of times, like, I'll make that conscious choice of choosing faith over fear. So I have a big thing coming up next week, and each morning this week, I've thought about it. And then, like, my mind wants to go into worrying and, this isn't going to go right and this isn't. And I literally have to say no and choose, like, to think the opposite. Like, all right,
nice.
Go amazing. And then I sit down and I write out how it's going to go. And that's something I do every single day. Like, I write out, like, how my day is going to go. So this interview, I'm going to connect with you. I'm going to absolutely crush it, show up and, like, because
and you are. You're totally crushing it.
If I don't prepare myself in the morning, especially, like, then it becomes, like, it's so much easier to let all this other noise come in. So
fear, ego, do you check your ego at the door? So wherever you go, is it just putting yourself in check? Speak to ego.
Yeah.
Because entrepreneurs are supposed to apparently have big egos. Otherwise, they say we wouldn't do what we would do.
Yeah, but not where, what I mean. So I think confidence is different than ego.
Yes.
So we can have, I can have a lot of confidence in my abilities and I can have confidence in what I do. But when the ego becomes problematic is where it wants me to think that I'm the only one who knows this and I'm not going to listen to something else. I have to be the center of attention or, anything like that where it's really more trying to keep me small and trying to keep me safe.
Counterproductive.
Yeah. And then expectations is where I like expect something from somebody and, but it's more for just for me or, a lot of this comes down to communication and everything like that. But that winds up becoming the other side. So I'm always keeping those three in mind throughout the day.
No, I think that's really important to do. Is there anything when you look back over your entire journey so far, is there anything that you kind of look at yourself and say, wow, I didn't even know I could do that? Or, oh my gosh, I'm so surprised that I did that.
Yeah, everything. So my favorite quote, our favorite quote is, I think it's 2009, Steve Jobs did the commencement speech at Stanford. And one of the quotes from it was, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. And that is what we base everything around. Like, literally, that's right by my front door in my apartment. That's right there, that quote. And because there's so many things that happen that I never would have predicted, I never could have predicted. And, a lot of that was from things not going necessarily the way that I would have wanted, or those were some really challenging situations, whatever it was. But I think there's so much, like, I never would have thought that by connecting people and helping people the way that I do now, that could bring me everything that it's brought me. Like, if you had told me that growing up as a six-year-old in a family that no one, forget no entrepreneurs, but no one had ever not worked in a school system, I would have said, you're crazy. Like, that would have been one of the things that I, you know, would have so far beyond my wildest dreams. And I think that's an important thing to remember.
It's really interesting. So, okay, I want to go back to the super connector. Sure. Which, you know, you're bringing all these folks together. They come to your Unfair Advantage Live, right? They're at the event and they're making these connections. Do you feel that people, once they're there and after they leave, they're able to continue the relationships? Because sometimes what I find when people are at events, they get really jazzed up and excited and they're pumped and they're going to do this and that. And then they leave, and it's almost like you take them out of the workshop, and they go right back into their patterns and routine. So how do you make it stick?
Yeah. So I think that, yes, that's the, I think that's the normal pattern. And so a few different things. So we build that idea, and like knowing that into, and we also, something like with the top 20 exercise, like that is something that you keep doing. So you keep reaching out to somebody. So, and it also, one of the things that I'm good at is making things simple, breaking things down. So if you're doing that each day and just reaching out to one person and creating that connection, rekindling a connection, building a connection, like it's unbelievable that, let's say you just did it during, you know, five times a week, like you're going to have hundreds of new relationships. And it, so, it, but it's, and it's also relatively simple. So, and when we also then develop a program to help people to keep going, because people ask for that. Like there was, I didn't start the business saying like, oh, here's a, I didn't even think it was going to be a business. I was like, I'm just one opportunity. But then people kept asking for different things. So I think that's where you then wind up building them in.
So Chris, you must have a lot of people around you who are helping. I'm wondering how you manage everything that you're doing. Like, you know, how do you get it all done? And any tips there?
Yeah, I think part of it is prioritizing. Another big part is just having an amazing team. So as I mentioned, like I'm not a publicist. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a PR expert. I hired the best people. And I think I'm such a believer in that. I have an amazing EA executive assistant who is just saves me every single day. And I'm really good. I'm not good at many things, but I'm really good at remembering details about people and things that need to get done and around people. Like I can remember, like I'll remember very specific things about you, about this conversation, you know, for pretty much ever. Like that's just how it goes. So it's that, that's just one of my natural gifts. Again, I don't have many, but that's like one that's like really, really,
I think you have a lot. You're just being humble. Is that one of the secrets to a good relationship, is really being able to listen and remember so that you can build upon that? What are your secrets to really good relationships?
Yeah, I think listening is so unbelievably important. And I think the most important one is how you make somebody feel. And do you help them to feel more seen, more heard? And also, do you help them to see more potential? So that's what we're attracted to. We're attracted to people that are, you know, have that like fire burning and help us see something that we don't necessarily see for ourselves. One of my favorite quotes, I love quotes, but one of my favorites, Maya Angelou, and she said, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but they'll never forget the way you made them feel. And
that's a great quote. I think, I've heard that.
Yeah, and it's such an important thing to remember. So again, sometimes getting back to that, people aren't great about asking for help, but sometimes just listening, sometimes there, and you know, being somebody that can listen and make them feel heard and make them see possibility, whatever that is, like that becomes one of the most important things. And those are the people you want to be around. So for us, for our company, we have a certain energy and we always like, no matter what the interaction is with us, we want people to leave that feeling better about themselves. Whether that's something, whether that's a call, a PR call, or a billing issue, like, that's our thing. We want energy, because the thing is, like, who would you rather deal with? Like, if everything else was equal, would you rather talk to somebody that makes you feel great, or would you talk to somebody that's like, enthusiasm is so underrated?
Well, I'll tell you, having that as a part of your culture certainly brings the best energy around you, and everybody feels it. That is so, so good. The whole listening thing, I feel like it gets harder and harder to listen. A lot of people think that they're listening, but they're not actively listening. And I do think a lot has to do with technology and social media. So maybe you can speak to that a little bit. How much do you look at social media as a way to build real relationships versus the wonderful work that you're doing in person?
So I look at social media, I'm never going to build a real relationship over social media. So for example, and what I mean by that is that it's nothing, like I could talk to somebody for a year and be connected to them for a year on social media and go back and forth, but 10 minutes of just like heart to heart or being right in front of somebody having a real conversation is more powerful than that year. So if there's somebody that I'm connected with or I want to connect with through social media, I am going to try to get that so that it becomes a actual call or a meeting or something so that I can actually get to know them.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I mean, I always say that social media is a great place to, you could start a relationship there. You can learn a lot about people through social media, but the whole goal is to get off of social media into a more private setting so that you can, you know, either you're moving to, if you're on Twitter, you're moving to a DM, to email, to in person. Like if you really want to get to know somebody, there's nothing that replaces a hug or a handshake, right? A heart to heart. I mean, I know we're on Zoom. I know that it's a video interview, but being in person, you're feeding off of somebody's energy. Yeah. And I think that makes a real difference. I can only imagine the energy that's in the room with all these folks who have the connections.
It's amazing. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing, that when people walk in for the first time, that's the thing that they say, like, it just feels different in here without even saying a word to anyone. There's just that feeling. And that's so important.
That's great. So I do want to ask you a question because you are on Women Worldwide. Are there any women in your life who have influenced you, any, whether it's family or friends or people that you work with that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah. So I, my company is almost exclusively women. There's 4 guys, but for a long time I was one of only 2. My events they skew about 80% women. And I have a daughter and 2 female dogs, and I'm surrounded by happily. So there's a lot of people. So my partner in business and in life is a woman named Jen Gottlieb, and she's the co-founder of our company. And she helps me in, with so many of these things that I'm talking about. She helps me to stay on track with them. And also I have a 10-year-old daughter named Vivian, and, with Vivian, I not only learned so much from her, but one of my favorite things about her is I've always tried to teach her that she can do anything. There's any, whatever it is that she wants, she'll be able to do. And seeing that, because that's not how I grew up thinking that. And seeing that in the flesh is unbelievably inspiring and motivating. But for example, she got into acting, and then she got into Broadway, and she said, hey, when I'm on Broadway, she didn't say, well, if I make it to Broadway, like she just talks as if it's already happened. Or I remember one time when she told
awesome.
She said this, we're walking down the street and we passed a homeless guy, and she said, when I'm a billionaire, I'm going to buy that guy a house. And she's like, even if he doesn't want it, he can just, sell it or something and get the money. Or that type of
beautiful. Oh my God. What a special young girl daughter you have. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. So
wow, lots of women influencing in your life. I can't even believe we're up to the question where I ask you to kind of round this all out and give some advice to women worldwide listeners about their connections and door opening and how they need to approach this.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is just giving yourself permission. So and not looking, a lot of people also struggle with self-promotion and promoting themselves. And they, just like we were talking about with help, but I see this also with promoting themselves, and I don't want to come across as braggy. So the thing that the reframe there that I always say to people, do you believe in what you do? Do you help people? If you do and you get them results, you have a responsibility. It's not about you. You have a responsibility to get your work, your message out into the world. And that's the first thing. And then the second is just believing that it's possible for you and believing that you're worthy and that there's nobody, don't put anyone on a pedestal. So another quote that we love is, the moment you put somebody on a pedestal is the moment they'll look down upon you. The trick is respecting each other equally. And that's such an important thing to remember. And finally is that people are people are people are people, meaning a reporter, a producer, anyone, they're a person. They struggle with the same things that you struggle with. They also need you as much as you need them. And once you understand that and once you just really take that in, it changes everything. Everything becomes so much easier because it's not a zero-sum game. It's a win-win. And once you get that, the rest becomes easy.
Wow. Permission, no pedestals, and we're all just people. Chris, thank you so much. That was awesome advice. Last question. Where can people find out more about you and your events?
Sure. So they can go to unfairadvantagelive.com. So unfairadvantagelive.com. You can learn more about me at chriswinfield.com or Chris Winfield on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing everything that you did about media connections. You are an inspiration and a super connector. Thank you.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. And thank you to all of you for tuning in. Keep sharing how you're feeling about women worldwide, how we can help you. Give us a shout out on Twitter. Go to Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the Deirdre Breckenridge YouTube channel. We always love hearing your feedback. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.